know. That's why I'm trying to figure out where you're going so I can tell you where to go.
Fired up tonight. I got home about 9:30 Friday night. I took my computer with me to Texas thinking, well, I will work a little bit while I'm there. I didn't. I thought, well, maybe I'll work in the van. No, I didn't. I got home Friday night, and I had looked at what I was preaching this morning. I had already known that. I had looked at those scriptures. I had that sermon laid out in my head. I didn't have the slides done. Had it laid out in my head. I got home at 9:30. No, I said 9:30. That's a lie. I got home more like 10:30. 10:30 Friday night. Went to bed, got up. Went to St. Joe yesterday morning and taught a Connect conference, taught some classes at a Connect conference for youth leaders and children's workers. Got back late yesterday afternoon about 4:30. Took my wife to dinner because I got news for you. When you've been gone a week, my wife was a beautiful sight when I got home. And so I wanted to take her to dinner and come back to the house about 7 o'clock after we'd taken care of a couple things. And I'm going to be honest with you. I mentioned it this morning. I sat down in the recliner and went to sleep. Woke up at 8, stayed in the recliner, dozed in and out for another hour. 9 o'clock, I looked at Beth and said, I'm going to bed. I went to bed. I set the alarm to get up at 6 o'clock this morning, put my slides together. And I hit the snooze until 7:15. Got up and I put my sermon together for this morning, and I began to, I told Beth, I said, you know, I still don't know what I'm preaching tonight. And I began to think about it, and I was thinking about it and praying about it even while I was in the shower, and God led me to this scripture. And so after I got ready this morning, I went in and I went out on the porch actually and sat down with my Bible and began to read this story. And God opened up this message to me this morning and fired me up about what I was going to be preaching tonight. Tonight, I want to talk for a few moments about taking hold of your personal miracle. Do you know you don't have to live with my miracle? You don't have to live with Sister Ann's miracle. Sister Ann's pretty loud about her miracle, but you don't have to live with hers. You can have your own personal miracle. God has done something for you. And I got news for you. It doesn't have to be something that affects the whole world. If it affects you, God cares about it. And so tonight we're going to talk about that for a few minutes. I want you to open your Bibles with me. 2 Kings chapter 6. Going to begin reading in just a few moments in verse number 1. 2 Kings chapter 6. Going to begin reading in verse number 1. Reading from the New King James Version of the Bible, this is what the word of the Lord says. And the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, see now the place where we dwell with you is too small for us. Let us go to the Jordan and let every man take a beam from there and let us make there a place where we may dwell. So he answered, go. Then one said, please consent to go with your servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But one was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell. But as one was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the wet water. And he cried out and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. So the man of God said, where did it fall? And he showed him the place. So he cut off a stick and threw it in there, and he made the iron float. Therefore he said, pick it up for yourself. So he reached out his hand and took it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you right now. Lord, I give you glory, I give you honor, and I give you praise. Lord, I know that you have poured this message into my heart. Lord, even this morning, Lord, you lit a fire in me as you reestablished these scriptures in my soul. And Lord, I pray that as I preach this tonight, Lord, that you would allow the same fire to be ignited in the hearts and lives of men and women who are here, men and women who are watching this on social media, Lord, men and women who are hearing the podcast. Lord, I want you to make a difference in their lives. Lord, I give you all the glory. I give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. This is one of those stories that we sort of remember. We talk about it often, at least I did growing up. I remember hearing the story of the iron axe head that floats. And I remember hearing the story in children's church. And I remember hearing about this great feat. I don't know if you understand, but iron doesn't normally float. And God can make things that aren't supposed to be for his glory. And I got news for you. If iron can float, then I can preach. Come on now. If iron can float, then you can have joy. Oh. If iron can float, then you can praise God. Amen. And so when we begin to talk about this scripture, sometimes we forget about it as we get older. And then somebody says, oh, yeah, I remember about the iron axe head that floated. But I believe that this is one of my, as I say about everything, one of my favorite stories in the Bible. Why? Because it means something special to me. When I read this story, I see some things that jump out to me. And I've got another sermon that I preached on this story, and I'll talk a little bit about it later on, but where I talk about how that God cares about our personal needs. But as I read this morning, God showed me something I'd never seen before, and that is going to be what I'm going to work toward tonight. We're going to start at the beginning, though. In Acts chapter and 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 1. It says, and the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, see now, the place where we dwell with you is too small for us. The first thing that I noticed is they said that our house is too small. Our house is too small. We cannot abide where we're at. I've got news for you. We need to understand that there comes a time in our life that our house becomes too small. Now, I'm not talking about our church. I'm not talking about your home you live in. I'm talking about the house where we house God in. That we try to box him up. We try to hold him in. We try to keep God under control. I don't want God to mess with my life. I don't want God to mess with me out here. I ran into somebody after church today, and they were saying, what's going on? And I just spoke up from across the street, and I said, it's something you're going to because you want to be a part of the drama. And they said, yes, Pastor, I'll be there. And I found out that they got here and they got a part, and they began to do the part, and I found out that they come to Levi and they pointed a finger and said, you're going to mess me up. You know why? Because their house was too small. You see, one of the things we've got to understand is there comes a place that we need to realize the box we're trying to keep God in is too small. And God wants to do more in us. God wants to move through us. He wants us to expand the walls, tear down the walls, tear down the doors, and get outside of what we've known. They came to Elisha. And they said, our house is too small. We need something to do. We need to expand. Let us go down and let us each, I love this, let us each cut a beam and bring it back and build a bigger place for us to dwell. Can I put that in modern language? Let me put that in modern Souls Harbor terminology. Pastor, our house is too small. Would you, Pastor Brian and Pastor Anna and Beth and Sister Mark and Sister Marilyn and Brother Mark, Sister Mark's Brother Marilyn. Yeah. Yeah, it's been a long week. Would the leaders of the church go out and cut a beam and build us a better place? See, that's what we would say. Why don't you go take care of this? But what they said, Elisha, let each man go and cut a beam. See, when your place is too little, when we begin to realize that we have boxed in the Spirit of God in our church and we've given him too small of a spot, if we would quit waiting for the pastor to do it, if we would quit waiting for the teacher to do it, then all of a sudden we would find a place worth worshiping in. We would find a church that is not about one or two. We would find a church where we're all. I got news for you. It's time that we quit sitting back and waiting for somebody else to build a bigger house. And we start saying, I want to do my part. I'm going to tell you, we went to a conference yesterday. Pastor Mark Smith taught a couple of classes that were absolutely, one class that I sat in was phenomenal. I was told that the other class was great as well. And my wife has been on me, and now Mark and Marilyn are on me, that we need to have Pastor Smith come here and teach on volunteer ministry and building up our church. I'm going to tell you something. You know why? You know how volunteer ministry works? Every one of us start to build, grab a beam. Now, one of the things that Pastor Smith told us yesterday as leaders is that we got to find people's passion. And me and Sister Marilyn were talking about it after that class, and me and her have the same problem. Because me and her both think that if it's our passion, it need to be your passion. And it does. It sounds like Pastor Anna's got the same thing. She goes, well, shouldn't it? Well, shouldn't it? No. My passion may not be your passion. And your passion may not be my passion. But I'm going to tell you, if we can start grabbing a hold of our passions, and we can start grabbing a hold of what God's called us for, and grabbing a hold of what God has placed us here for, I'm telling you, God has fit us together as a family. And so when we go out into this world, we each begin to do our part. The last thing we need is more people like me. Come on now. I got news for you. There's only one pulpit in this church. I try to share it best I can. But that's my passion. But I got news for you. Sister Marilyn's got a passion. She wants kids that nobody else wants. She wants kids that everybody else forgets. Whew, what a passion. I look around and I see other people's passion. Sister Ann, she's got a passion for prayer and a passion for discipleship. And she likes a disciple rough cases. And then God sends us some rough cases. Come on now. Yeah, yeah. We've got, I always pick on her. We got Sister Rose. Oh my word. She's got a passion for people. People, a lot of people don't want to deal with. Just be honest. And she just loves on them. Just loves on them. It's her passion. When we begin to grab our passion, your passion and my passion, they may not look the same, but they're going to build the same building. They're going to build the same house. Our house is too small. Let us each go out and grab a beam so that we can together build a house. We fit together, as Paul writes to the Ephesians. We build together a house of God. He said our house is too small. We need to go out and get a beam. And then somebody says, wait a minute. Well, at first, Elisha says, great, y'all go. And somebody says, wait a minute. Will you go with us? Let me tell you something, church. I will go. I understand sometimes you need the leader. Sometimes you need the pastor. I'm going to go. I may not always chop down the log you want, but I'll be there when you chop down yours. I may not always be the one doing the work. That's not what I was called to do, but I'll be there to support you while you do the work. I'll be there behind you. I'll with you. I went on this trip, and I put this trip together, and I lassoed Brother Furman in this. That's why I'm really not going to Florida. He can't go, and I ain't going without him. And I lassoed Brother Furman into this trip, and I don't know what Brother Furman knows, but I will stand behind him as his pastor, and I will stand behind him as the leader of that trip. And when he said this is what needs to be done, if anybody doubted his authority, I made sure that my authority was there to support what he said. I've got news for you. There comes a place where you need to know, is a pastor going to be with you? I am with you. I am behind you. See, us pastors, we don't preach this sermon very often. We don't say these things. I will not get in front of you. I don't want to take over what you're doing, but I want you to know I'm with you. If you want to know if you have the ability to go out and cut down your beam, if you want to know if you can go out and reach your potential and do your ministry, I want you to know I'm behind you. Yeah. Elisha said, I will go. I'm going to go with you. We don't hear anything about Elisha cutting down a beam. I don't know if he did or didn't. We don't hear about what he did to build the building. We don't hear any much more about the building. But he was there in case there was trouble. In case they ran into a snag. I got news for you. That's my job. My job is to be here. And I'm telling you, I've gotten phone calls from every leader in the church. What should I do about this? What should I do about that? How do I handle this? I tell you, I had one leader come up to me tonight and said, I need to talk to you. I ain't going to talk to you before church, but I need to talk to you after church. Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. Now I know I got a conversation coming after church. Whew. But all of a sudden, I began to realize that my job is to be there to direct and sometimes correct. And sometimes I've looked at some at times and said, hey, that's probably not a wise choice. I've looked at some sometimes and said, you're on the right track. Keep on moving. Some I said, oh, let me pray about that. I've looked at some sometimes and said, have you faced this problem before? And they say, yes, everywhere I go. And I say, then what's the common denominator? If you face a problem more than once with multiple different people, you are the common denominator, and the problem is probably not theirs, it's yours. But Elisha said, I'm going to go with you. And if you face a problem, if you have a hardship, if you have a question, I'm going to be there, and I will do what I can to help you. I got news for you. We don't know that Elisha had the answer to every problem they had cutting down a tree. I don't know that I could tell anybody how to cut down a tree, but I can be there, and I can pray, and I can seek God's direction. And I want you to know, I want this church to know, as we take hold of what God has called us for, as we take hold of our personal miracles, I want you to know that I am here, and I'm with you. Amen. So now we have the school of the prophets out cutting down wood, and the prophet is with them, and he's supporting them. I don't know if he's swinging an axe or if he's just walking around going, good job, guys, or maybe he's laying out a cadence, and swing, swing, swing. He may have been doing what I do. He may have been going, hey, we're live on Facebook today. Just want to say what a great job these people are doing. I did that a lot in Texas. Come on now. I can do Facebook Live videos well. I don't know what Elisha was doing, but he was there. And then all of a sudden, one man was chopping down a tree, and the iron axe head fell off his axe, and it fell into the water. And he cried, alas, master, it was borrowed. This is where I've preached this message before. Now, this story all revolves around this iron axe head floating. That's the miracle that we're talking about. But I got to explain to you the kind of person I am. Because many years ago, 25, 30 years ago, the first time I preached this passage, I'd read it and I was praying and I said, God, why do I care that the dude lost a borrowed axe? Didn't affect me at all. I mean, I've lost a lot of borrowed stuff. Come on now. I've had things that I borrow break. Oh. Here just a few months ago, I borrowed Brother Don Boswell's trailer. And the time I got home with that trailer, all the lights were all messed up on that trailer. There were shorts everywhere and that thing. And I called him and I was like, Brother Don, I don't know what's up, but the lights on this trailer don't work. Oh, don't worry about it. I'm like, oh, if you'll get it rewired, I'll pay for it. No, don't worry. I felt so bad. I borrowed the trailer. Now, I can tell you how bad I felt, and you look at me and go, okay. I didn't borrow the trailer. Yeah, because that was my problem. This man's cutting down this tree. He wasn't worried about the axe head. If it had been his axe head, he wouldn't have thought twice about it. But he said, oh, master, I borrowed that axe. Now I have to go back to my friend and say, I broke it. You know that axe I borrowed from you? It's at the bottom of the river. I'm going to be embarrassed. Now, how ridiculous is it that God tells us a story in the Bible that's worried about somebody being embarrassed? But yet God says, I've put my prophet there to be able to minister in your embarrassment. Some of you are going to get that in a minute. I just spent a whole few minutes telling you, I'm here. I'm with you. You're going to have some things that are going to happen to you, and they're going to embarrass you. They're not going to go right. It's not going to go the way you planned. And you're going to be like, oh. And that's where I'm going to come up behind you and say, hey, I'm still here. I'm still here. I can't. That's why God sent me. God sent me and brought me here to support you. And I've got a plan. See, Elijah come up and he says, well, where did it fall? And the man said, it fell over here. It fell in the water over here. And Elisha says, well, I got an idea. And he breaks him off a stick. Anybody got a pen? Hand me that pencil under your chair there. That's a stick. Don't worry about the borrowed axe head because I got a stick. Yay. So glad you got a stick, Elisha. And he said, where did it fall? He said, it fell here. And he threw the stick in the water. Let me tell you something. Here's where I'm going with this. Sometimes the support you need, you can't tell what it means. Sometimes what you need from God when it's happening, you don't understand it until the iron floats. See, sometimes God calls me as your pastor, or he calls a Titus in your life that we talked about a couple weeks ago. It comes to give you hope and give you courage, a defender. And he places them in your life. And when you have a problem, you have a struggle, and go, I don't know what to do. They do something. You look at them like they got six heads. What are you doing? You're just going to pray about this? You're not going to fix it? You're just praying. I bet people get sick and tired of asking Ann for help. Well, I'll pray. You're just going to pray. You mean you're just going to sing about this? Sometimes, see, we read the stories complete. But think about being the guy who's upset and concerned because he borrowed the axe. And the axe head is broken. And he looks to the prophet of God and says, what do I do? And the prophet takes a stick, throws it in the water. Well, what does that mean? I'm going to tell you something. Here's what I want you to remember from this. When God sends his assistance to you, sometimes at first it looks crazy until the miracle comes. Sometimes at first it sounds insane until the miracle comes. Until the iron axe head begins to float up to the top of the water. The throwing a stick in the water means nothing. But I got news for you. When you become obedient to God, when you become obedient to his power, when you let the prophet of God come by and speak into your life, when you let the power of God begin to flow, when God's mercy begins to come in, what looked crazy, what looked insane, all of a sudden causes iron to float. We walk into church and I preach messages. We bring in evangelists, and some of them whistle and some of them hoot and holler and do all kinds of craziness. My dad comes in and pops the top of his head. I got news for you. We go, what in the world? Why in the world would Bishop David have a curtain up here and have people reach their hands through the curtain? That's just craziness. Yeah, it looked crazy until you stuck your hand through that curtain. And when you stuck your hand through that curtain, things got a little shaky. Come on now. Why in the world would we take and pour oil over the youth pastor's head before he's even the youth pastor? By the way, let me stop for just 1 second. Let's give a round of applause, because 1 year ago tomorrow is the night we confirmed Pastor. This is the 1 year anniversary of the night that he preached, and we confirmed him as our new youth pastor, and been a great year. Y'all survived the year one. Let's see how year two goes. Amen. Going to throw some sticks in the water. Amen. But why in the world would we pour oil over somebody's head? Why in the world would we go out in the backyard of the church and let 18, 19 people let me pour oil over their head? Why? Because we understand what looks crazy brings miraculous power. What looks insane sometimes is the answer we need to get out of our box. You see what happened when I read this scripture. When you go through verse 7, then you get to verse 8, and it says, now King of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servants, saying, my camp will be in such and such a place. And it goes on and begins to talk about another story. And I don't see the completion of the building. Because when they got to the floating axe head, their boundaries were bigger. Let me explain this. They thought they needed a bigger building. What they needed was bigger faith. They thought what they needed was a bigger house, but what they needed was a bigger understanding. And once that stick floated in the water and the iron floated up to the top, all of a sudden they begin to realize that it doesn't have to look like what we think it needs to look like. As long as God's power's here, as long as God's miracle's here, as long as God's anointing is here, that's when our boundaries expand. When we let the miracles happen, we quit worrying about what it looks like, and we let the miracles happen. But now let me get to my sermon. That was the introduction. The Bible says, so the man of God said, where did it fall? And he showed it in the place, so he cut off a stick and threw it in there, and he made the iron float. Ooh, we all shout there, hoot and holler. We got excited about it. I've just preached hard about it. Woo, hallelujah, the iron floated. But let's not forget verse 7. Because when the iron floated in the water, where was the iron? In the water. Now, I got news for you. If he borrowed an axe and he was afraid to lose the axe, a sunken axe head is not much different than a floating axe head. The only difference is I can see where it's at. I still can't give it to my friend. It's still lost. It's still not put together as an axe. I still can't return it. I can just point to it. If we get caught up with the shouting about the miracle before we get to verse 7, we can't take it with us. Because verse 7 says this. Therefore he said, being Elisha, pick it up for yourself. So y'all didn't get that or y'all been shouting. You lost your axe head. You borrowed it. You're going to be embarrassed. It ain't going to work. I've thrown a stick in the water. Now the axe head's floating. Pick it up for yourself. Pick it up for yourself. Don't leave it floating in the water, but reach down with your own hand and pick up the miracle of God. Praise God. He does great things in our church. Thank you, Jesus. I wish he'd bless me. I wish he would anoint me. I wish he would give me blessing and healing and power. Oh, let me tell you something. The anointing of God has been passed out. The power of God is flowing. There's been a prophecy over this altar that there would be a river flowing through here. The river has been flowing, not for a week, not for 2 weeks. I'm telling you, the river's been flowing for 4 years. Your miracle is here. Now pick it up for yourself. Oh, well, Brother Sandifer, when we get to Pentecost Sunday and we've got Bishop David and we've got Brother Curtis here, then I can get my blessing. I'm going to tell you, Bishop David and Brother Curtis. If you'll quit being the butt that says, but I can't, and get off your seat. See, I scared you there, didn't I? Get off your seat, get off your chair, and go pick it up for yourself. We got a bunch of... We got a bunch of weepy, whiny, fat babies in the church. Well, Pastor, if you'll give it to us, we'll have it. No, I ain't giving you nothing. Pick it up for yourself. Look at what Elisha did. Elisha said, look, I'm going to do the unreal, and I'm going to throw the stick in the water. I'm going to throw it there. God's going to make that iron float, but I ain't picking it up for you. I came with you. I'm here behind you. I've provided the miracle. I've obeyed God. I've done what I need to do. Now you've got to reach down and pick it up. We come into the house of God and we think that it's God's duty to bless us. We think it's God's duty to let us feel his presence. The Bible says he inhabits the praises of his people. You want to feel God, pick it up for yourself. Lift up your hands, get up on your feet and begin to praise God. You want to feel the power of God? Get yourself into the book of God. I promise you. Test me if you don't believe this. If you will read your Bible every day. If you'll read your Bible. You give me 30 minutes a day. Read your Bible for 30 minutes a day. And see if within a month I'm not the best preacher you've heard. You give me an hour a day and you'll think I need to be on TV. because it has nothing to do with me. When you start picking it up for yourself, all of a sudden you start grabbing the Word of God. You start grabbing the truth. And then when I get up here and preach, I can tell who reads the Bible. I'm up here preaching this morning, and I got off on the, as I started the sermon, I got off talking about the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. And I got to talking about how that he went in front of it, and I looked over, and there were two ladies about to have church all by themselves. And I don't know the details, and I didn't find out, but I'm guessing somewhere in their time together this week, they got talking about that very point. And all of a sudden, as they had talked about the Word of God, as they had talked about his power, then when I begin to preach, it, oh, that is awesome! When you read, I become a better preacher. You want to have better worship in the church? Spend an hour a day praying and praising God at home. And see if when you get here, all of a sudden Pastor Anna's just more anointed this morning. There's a spirit about her today. No, it ain't about her. It's that you finally quit waiting for somebody to buy. Elisha looked at him. He said, the miracle's done. Pick it up yourself. Look at this. I'll get to that in a minute. So he reached out his hand and he took it. See, some of you have been coming to church for 5 months. Some of you for 5 years. Some of you for 50 years. And you felt the doodads. You've seen some good. But you're tired of going home with the same problems. If church doesn't change your life, it's not the church's fault. If God hasn't changed you, it's not God's fault. You've got to pick it up. You got to reach in and take hold of what's yours. Every miracle that's happened in my life, every time I've seen God do the supernatural in my life, it was a direct result of me having the faith to say I believe. And it always started with a faithful proclamation or request and the faith to look and see if it was done. This week I got to drive through my hometown. Twice. I got to go through twice. Some people didn't because we, you know, there's more than one way to get to Houston. But the van did not go through my hometown going down. It went another way. Me and Mike, poor Mike, he got to hear all the stories about my hometown from me. And then I'm sure he got to hear them all from my dad coming home. And he probably knows more about Shodo, Oklahoma than he would ever care to know. for a dumpy little old town in the middle of nowhere, it sounds really cool the way me and Dad tell it. It sounds really cool. But when we met up in McAllister, Oklahoma, with the van, it shocked me. At first, I wasn't sure what they were talking about. I had several people get out of the van and say, I wanted to see the Sand Mountain. And then I remembered that I had preached here about my dad preaching a sermon on speak to this mountain and say, you shall be removed. And that night I went home and I looked out my bedroom window at the property behind our house. And there was a mountain of sand. We would have called it a pile. for a 6 or 7 year old boy, it was a mountain of sand behind our house. And I said, in the name of Jesus, be moved. And I went to bed, and the next morning I woke up to the sound of trucks. And I looked out the window, and they were loading that sand mountain up on a dump truck. And they carried it away from there. And when we met up, there were people that were coming to me and said, we wanted to see where that sand mountain was. We wanted to see what affected you. We wanted to see. Why? Because I had reached out and grabbed it. I had believed that it could happen. And when it did, I celebrated. For 40 years now, I've been celebrating that God moved that mountain. And the Bible says, speak to the mountain, say be cast in the sea. I don't remember if I added that part, and I don't know if they went and dumped it in the river, but I don't know where they took it, but it may be in the sea by now. I don't know. But miracles come when we reach out and grab them. When we bring them into us. When we say, that miracle is mine. But our problem is we've come to a day and age that we sit back in our seats and we come up with every excuse why it can't really happen. We come up with every excuse why that's not possible. The truth is, all we got to do is reach out our hand and take it. All we got to do is reach out our hand and receive what God has done. Do every one of you in this building understand that God doesn't just move for me? He moves for you. Do we understand that God doesn't just give me peace and joy, but He's prepared peace and joy for you if you'll just reach out and take a hold of it? Do we understand that power and anointing is not reserved for the preacher? But rather it's for the believer. And if we will believe, we can walk in that power and that anointing. Over and over and over, we always find people that are stronger than us. And we say, oh, well, God does big things for them, but He can't do it for me. I'm just as guilty. Oh, God can let Pastor Ray Sewell take a church from 8 to 250. He can't do that for me. Yeah, He can. God can reach down and anoint that ministry and that ministry, but I'm not that good. God can do this, God can do that, but He can't use me. But I got news for you. God has prepared a miracle for me. He has prepared a miracle for you. He's prepared peace for you. Peace is not something other people get and you don't. Every time you think you get it together, something falls apart. Every time you think everything's going to happen, something else happens and you think, man, I'm right back where I was. But I've come by to tell you, if you'll reach out and take hold of it, God's got the power for you. He's got the anointing for you. If you want it, I want you to come here. Lord Jesus, not just a feeling, not just a moment, but Lord, I want you to give him supernatural authority, supernatural peace, Lord, that lives in his life, Lord, Monday through Sunday, Lord Jesus, 20